Hello, listeners, and welcome back for episode number 2 of Mixed Conspiracies, a podcast that covers conspiracies ranging from true crime to the tinfoil hats of the internet. My name is Courtney Beasley, and I will be your host for today's episode. If you are interested in requesting a theory, feel free to leave feedback on whatever platform you are currently listening to, and leave us a review. Keep in mind that none of these theories are confirmed unless it is specifically stated, and the show is made just for fun. And with that, let's dive headfirst into today's theory. Today's episode is a little deeper than last week's. I want to go ahead and say that this episode will have crime scene details, which can be graphic. And if you're a younger listener, please be cautious. And if you're too young, just go ahead and stop listening altogether. This week, we will be discussing the case of U.S. Army private named Lavinia Lynn Johnson. Lavinia was found dead on a military base in Iraq of July of 2005. The U.S. military ruled her death as a suicide resulting from an M16 rifle wound. The conspiracy part of this case is honestly insane, and it's one of the only cases that has had me in a rabbit hole. And I wanted to cover this case because, honestly, it just needs more coverage. And it's crazy, more people don't know about this young woman and her tragic ending. To begin our story, I want to tell you a little bit about Private Johnson. Lavinia was born on July 27, 1985, as the fourth child to Dr. John H. Johnson and Linda D. Johnson. Growing up, she was very involved in her church, even insisting her entire family always get up early enough to go to Sunday school. She also showed her leadership very early on, taking her role of big sister seriously, and always volunteering to take care of her baby sister, who was only 2 years below her. She also played violin from a very young age, often playing concerts for the family with her sister, who played the flute. She loved animals, and was a PETA member since age 11, and also was a vegetarian for all of her young life. In high school, she received many certificates and praises from her teachers and was always on the honor roll. She was very involved in her community and was recognized for many of her community service projects. She also knew she wanted to attend college and major in performing arts so that she could turn her father's books into movies, and even talked of forming a family music and movie company with her brother and sister, who are also both musicians. However, since she was so smart, she knew that to achieve her goals that she would have to attend college on the West Coast. She also knew that her parents were paying for her sister's school at the same time, and since she wanted to go to another state, she thought she would help her parents pay for school by joining the U.S. Army before going on to college. As her father was an Army veteran himself, he fought hard against her decision and pleaded with her that he would work more to afford her dreams, but she was stubborn on her decision. So, they cautiously supported her, not knowing that this decision would change their lives forever. That September, instead of enrolling in college like she had originally anticipated, she enlisted in the U.S. Army. She attended Fort Jackson for her 8-week basic training, and at her graduation, her parents were told by her drill sergeants that she was mentally tough and used as an example for both her male and female soldiers. She was then deployed in May of 2005 to Iraq. She was there for 8 weeks before she died on July 19, 2005. This was sadly only 8 days before Lavinia would have turned 20 years old. This honestly kills me because at the time of this recording, I'm only 20 years old. Now, Lavinia may seem like just another military casualty if that's all you knew about the case, but this is when the theories start to come in. And honestly, this case had me so deep in the rabbit hole, I wasn't sure I was going to get out in time to record this episode. But Lavinia's death was ruled as a suicide, and every ounce of evidence turns away from that theory. In July of 2005, Lavinia always wrote home and called as often as she could, telling her parents about the conditions in Iraq and how her experience was, like how when they first arrived, they forced the soldiers to dump out all their belongings and then repurchase everything from the military store. There were also some early signs of the disrespect she and other females in the army would endure as they went from being female warriors to females. Then they finally just called the woman soul, as in half of a soldier. Even though they were being mistreated and disrespected, Lavinia always tried to keep her conversations and letters light and happy, asking how her family was doing. She got to contact her family more often than a normal soldier because her job was in communications, being the one who opened and closed the building each day, so she had easy access to use the phone versus a normal soldier. Her family wasn't very worried about her until the 14th of July. She called home and told her father that she had a run-in with a superior officer, her general. That day, whenever she tried to close the communications building, a group of soldiers refused to leave. Eventually, the general had to show up, and instead of berating these soldiers for not following orders or even just respecting a fellow soldier, he turned to Lavinia. He told her, "They won't listen to you because your voice is soft." Her dad was furious by this and said it was unusual for a general to talk to a private like that and to tell her that she isn't doing something right or saying that she doesn't deserve respect based off her voice, and told Lavinia that she needed to request a battle buddy. For the listeners who aren't familiar with this term, it means that you basically have a shadow, and you both rely on each other and are basically inseparable. It's supposed to help people adjust out of the civilian lifestyle and have somebody looking out for you. But Lavinia refused. She said that she couldn't go to her supervisors and demand something. That was improper, and it'd make her look bad. But her dad insisted that if she didn't get a buddy herself, he'd request one for her. But he wanted to give her a chance to do it herself, so he didn't do it immediately. But deep down, there was a reason behind why Lavinia refused to speak up to her supervisor. She had been sexually assaulted and was receiving treatment for an STD, something that she didn't tell her parents. There isn't even evidence that it was investigated, or that they found out who it was who assaulted her. But she kept up appearances, so they wouldn't ask questions or even realize anything was wrong. Lavinia's family heard from her about 3 days later, by phone, on July 17th. She had great news, that she was possibly going to get to come home early. She was supposed to come home around Christmas, and specifically told her family, "Please don't decorate the Christmas tree until I get there." And by the accounts of her family, she was happy, and they were going to see her soon, and all was awesome. But they didn't know then that that would be the last time that they ever spoke to their daughter. A few days later, the Johnson family receives a visit from a soldier on their doorstep. As a veteran, her father immediately knows something has happened to Lavinia. The soldier explains that Lavinia's dead, and the family can't wrap their head around it, as they had just spoken to her, and she was in a non-combat role. As they probed, the soldier kind of alludes to the idea that she took her own life, and her father straight out asks at that point, "Wait, are you trying to tell me that my daughter committed suicide?" And the soldier kind of backpedals at that point. He's like, no, it's still under investigation. But to me, it seems like he just slipped up, as the army had already created its own story of what happened since this first second. And this is the first time that they had to hear the army's version. They find out now what happened between the last conversation they had and when her body was discovered. On July 18th, Lavinia got off between 4 and 5 p.m., and usually she would go to physical training after work, and it's believed that this was her intention, as her body had PT uniforms on, which was sweats, tennis shoes, and a reflector belt. But she never made it there. The Army's official version is that when somebody went and looked for her, she wasn't in her room, and she didn't answer her door. They think that she had actually met up with another male soldier and they were hanging out in his room for about 4 hours. Then they went and shopped in the shopping area until about 9 or 10. Then this guy supposedly walked her back to her room before going up to his room. The very next thing that we know for sure, by official reports, is that Lavinia's body is found at 1:20 in the morning on the 19th of July inside a contractor's tent, laying on her back in a pool of blood, while her right arm covered her face. If you're able to, definitely take a moment and look up photos of the crime scene, because I believe it's nearly impossible to envision just how much of a struggle this scene showed. The photos that have been released show that on Lavinia's right side, you can see a pile of burned papers in an aerosol can, and on the opposite side of that is a green cot, and on the other side of the cot is an M16 rifle. Before the army will release her body back to her family, they perform an autopsy on her and conclude that her death was a suicide, saying that she took papers, possibly love letters from a boyfriend, and built a small fire, and then shot herself with the M16 by putting it inside her mouth and pulling the trigger. None of this made sense to her family, who had just spoken to her and had no reason to believe that she was depressed. But the army rebutted, saying that she was upset over a boyfriend, despite her family claiming that she would never kill herself over a guy that she had only been with for a few months. They couldn't seem to process the military's explanation as to what happened, especially since they had only spoken 2 days prior to the discovery of her body, and she spoke of coming home and being so excited to see them. While the family had a slight suspicion that something was wrong, it only grew bigger whenever they received Lavinia's body for burial. Before she returned home, the casualty liaison who was sent to the Johnsons to help arrange her funeral suggested to her family that they have a closed casket during the service, as her face had suffered damages from being shot with the M16, but her family decided against it. But upon the body's arrival, her father realizes that everything on her body seems to contradict the autopsy report, beginning with her face being almost pristine, not at all like somebody who had just shot themselves in the mouth, but her nose appeared to be broken and then reset, and her lips were cut. Besides that, the only evidence that did point to it being a gunshot wound was a small bullet hole on the left side of her skull. But if a gun was in her mouth, how could one angle the gun for the hole to come out of the left side? And even if that was possible, this supposed exit wound does not match a normal exit wound at all, especially since Lavinia's father was a veteran and was well-versed with the exit wound of an M16 rifle. To him, this appeared more like the entry of a 9mm, but there was no report of a 9mm or an entry wound in the Army's report. The weirdest part was whenever her father discovered her gloves had been glued onto her hands, which seems totally unnecessary. It was actually confirmed by the funeral director, who said they had never even done that before. According to military rules, after an autopsy, the family should be contacted immediately after the autopsy to know what occurred. According to paperwork, the autopsy of her body was finished on July 22nd, yet her father was not contacted until the 3rd of August. That's 12 days! At this point, Lavinia's father has decided that there is more to this daughter's story than anybody ever wants to admit to him, and he was on a warpath to find out exactly what happened. According to the autopsy report, it seemed like the medical examiner believed it was suicide before he even began, as there was no rape kit, there was no fingernail scrapings done, and basically no sort of testing at all. And now the Johnsons have given up any trust left in the army and hire their own criminal investigator, and they have to fight like hell to get any of the records for their own investigation. After a long battle, the family finally gets a file which is supposed to have all of the details of her case, but the file contains super low quality black and white copies of the original documents and photos. But even with this, the family can see that nothing adds up. You can even see in the photos how far away the rifle is from her, even though she was supposed to have shot herself with it. Also, nobody can figure out how Lavinia, only being 5'1", could have pulled the trigger to a gun that is 40 inches long, almost half her size, along with no gunpowder residue on her hands. Along with these discoveries, the documents are also the first time her parents discover that she had been raped and was being treated for an STD. But what truly caught their eye was a Xerox picture of a CD-ROM, probably either a dumb or smart-ass attempt of copying a CD. This CD began a battle with the Johnsons and the U.S. Army, trying to gain access to this DVD. The Army doubled down at this point, saying that before she died, Lavinia was acting deranged and depressed, but her father fights that accusation by pointing out that if they truly believed that, why would they allow her to carry a rifle? And they also showed no proof, and upon asking why they believed she was depressed, the military simply stated, well, she was eating a ton of ice cream, like 3 or 4 times a day. Yeah, that is actually what they tried to pin her depression on, not even thinking of the fact that it's a hot desert and ice cream is a cold, awesome snack that I can even eat a few times a day myself in the summertime. They really tried to say that eating ice cream means that you're suicidal enough to shove an M16 down your own throat. This fact alone blows the entire story for me, because they didn't even try to find a real excuse or evidence. The more the Army insists it was suicide, the further it pushes Lavinia's father to find out what truly happened. But as her father fights for access to the CD, the military pushes back, saying that the names of the people on the CD-ROM have rights, and those rights deserve protection. Her father says that if they're on the CD, It has something to do with his daughter's death, and he needs to know what their roles are, and he deserves that information. The army pretty much says, cool, have fun with that, and says if he wants more, he has to get a lawyer and fight them for it. Literally the most suspicious thing they can do in that situation. Her dad then decides to go to their congressman, Lacey Clay, who was on a government reform committee, and he addressed the CD-ROM live on a TV interview with a high-ranking government official, basically saying, if you have nothing to hide, then show us that CD. And the official said on TV, that's fine, just fill out this paperwork, the Freedom of Information Act, etc., while smiling all nice for the cameras and the crowd. But then the moment the show stops, he changes the story and says, you're not entitled to this information, goodbye, and storms away. This further adds to the Johnsons' fight for 2 years, and then they finally get the access to the CD-ROM. On the CD was all of the original crime scene photos, which were so much more shocking in color and revealed so much more information. They showed severe damage to her face, like she had been struck with a blunt object. One of her elbows was even distended, and her back had dirt, as if she had been dragged. And there was even photos of blood outside the tent, furthering the theory that she had been killed and then dragged to that location. There was also autopsy photos that showed bruises and scratches covering Lavinia's body, as if she'd been beaten and kicked, along with burn marks on her right hand and back, as if somebody had tried to light her body on fire. The most disturbing thing, though, and quick warning, this is a little graphic, was that her photo showed some type of corrosive liquid had been poured onto her genitals, probably an attempt to destroy evidence of a sexual assault, but Lavinia had been found completely clothed. So if we want to try and keep with the army's theory, Lavinia undressed, beat herself up, set herself on fire, then poured corrosive liquid into her own genitals, then redressed, and then killed herself? On what planet does this make sense? And the army just forgot to include any of this in the autopsy report? The army originally told her father that they hadn't done a rape kit since there was apparently no signs of a struggle, and that rape didn't even seem like a possibility. But correct me if I'm wrong here, common sense tells me if somebody has acid in their vagina, some shit happened to them. This is past just incompetence, and even seems to almost pass the line of a blatant, malicious intended cover-up that they hoped the family would just play along with. Oh, but wait. There is even more. These photos also showed that part of her vagina, part of her anus, and part of her tongue had been removed. Again, nothing like this was added to the autopsy report. The biggest theory around this is that a material called Wundstat could have been used. Wundstat is something used in the field, put inside an open wound, and then it hardens to prevent bleeding out, but it has to be surgically removed from the body after use. It's likely that Wundstat was placed into her genitals as just another way to cover up a sexual assault. So it's easy to argue that it had to have been cut out by somebody who wanted no proof that they were ever there. But that doesn't answer to why her tongue was also cut. A lot of people believe the hole on the left side of her head was the entry wound of a 9mm and the bullet likely got lodged into her tongue, which the killer then cut out to avoid being traced by the bullet. Another important thing here to remember is that the bullet from the M16 that supposedly killed her was never even located, so there really is no evidence to even dispute this theory. But the thing that blows this whole case up for me is that on the initial paperwork on the CD-ROM, when her body was first discovered, somebody actually did rule this a homicide. But then, inexplicably, a decision is suddenly made to class her as a suicide. And then the rest is history. The family has been fighting ever since, hoping to keep Lavinia's memory alive and get justice for her. They are working against the entire government, who wants them to just go away and refuse to budge their stance on what happened. The government even did a second investigation on this case, which took years, and they still came up that there is nothing to indicate foul play and that the evidence is inconclusive. It's insane how obvious they are with this cover-up, that they're getting away with it. They even influenced a story on CBS about this case, which CBS has put a good chunk of money into, even paying for a private autopsy. But then the channel pulled the story for unexplained reasons. Lavinia's story has become the poster for the military covering up rapes and murder while stationed overseas, even though her story is far from being the only one. Statistics show that 1 in 3 women get raped during their military career. Yeah. 1 out of 3. Women are more likely to be raped by a fellow soldier than to be killed in combat. As of 2010, out of the 120 women who died in Iraq, 50%, which is 60 soldiers, were non-combat related. Of these 60, half of them died in very strange circumstances, many of whom were written off as suicides. Sometimes, you just can't ignore the evidence and the numbers that back the story up. So, what do you think? Was this truly a suicide? Or is the military covering up something bigger behind closed doors? That's for you to decide. Until next time, on Mixed Conspiracies.